This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now we lost our signal, so I'm going to wait a few seconds for everyone to hop back on. I don't know what happened. We just got kicked out of Instagram, so I pray this doesn't happen again. Anyway, let's see as we have our friends joining us again.
Apologies.
All right, hold on. Got more people coming on. There we go. Yeah, we're so sorry. We got kicked out. I have no idea what happened. Yes. But we got kicked out of Instagram. Saeed was answering the question that somebody had put, which is of a couple who had been married for 10 years and they've been having in-law issues interfering with their relationship and has messed everything up. There's no communication. There's no respect in the relationship. And they have three children who are witnesses to this. What is the advice that we can give them based on that? Again, those of you joining us, I'm so sorry. We just... our internet or our Instagram just crashed, so we had to log back on. I pray it doesn't happen again.
Inshallah.
But I did see someone ask a question, something to do with their mother had checked off all the boxes except something. I would love for you to put the question again because it's disappeared. So please, could you send us the question so that we'll go back and answer that? But in the meantime, Saeed, you were talking about part of the rights.
I was referring to the rights of marriage of both husbands and wives, that kindness, respect, and love is what each is entitled to from the other. Now, if kindness and respect is among the rights that the husband is entitled to and the wife is entitled to, we have to be very careful that when it comes to parents and the relationship between children and their parents, and when someone went to Rasulullah and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who should I pay attention to, or who should I see, or who should I visit, on three occasions Rasulullah said your mother and that's how important parents are in our lives. And the treatment of treating parents, either if they're aged, if they're sick, if they're having challenges, I think it's out of respect, kindness, and love for your spouse to let them visit their parents. Of course, the man has the right to deny, or wife has to seek permission from the husband to go out, including visiting relatives and parents. But out of kindness, out of respect and consideration, I think, unless, of course, we have situations where parents become an obstacle and hindrance in the good relations between husbands and wives, in those kind of situations and circumstances, it is absolutely necessary to draw a boundary and say, no, we're not going to allow this to ruin our marriage, because this is our marriage. It's not a marriage of parents to husbands or parents to wives. It's husband to wife and wife to husband. So such kind of interference is completely discouraged and isn't something that should be tolerated. But just to visit, as long as one doesn't go there and comes back with negative influences or thoughts or attitudes in the house, I think it should not be something denied a wife, particularly when she is trying or he's trying to observe that hadith where we're supposed to show kindness to parents. And don't forget, we've been told severally that paradise lies at the feet of the mother, although some scholars have corrected that and said paradise lies at the feet of parents.
Yeah.
I hope that has answered your question.
Yes, you actually answered two questions in one.
Okay.
But the advice to the couple, they have been married 10 years and they're having in-law issues. Your advice is that the man needs to go back and the woman needs to, depending on where the interference is coming from, it could be from the woman's side.
Yes.
The advice is to go back to your rights and obligations, and you owe your spouse to protect them.
Yes.
And your in-laws have no stake in your relationship.
No.
They don't have a say under Sharia.
No.
It is about you and your spouse and your culture that you want to adopt.
Yes.
They cannot tell you what to do and how to relate with each other and dictate. And the second point, though, which I needed to emphasize, whereas under Sharia, the wife has to seek her husband's permission
to go
before
out,
going out.
Except those that are already we're not established,
like
work
and
yes.
so on.
Yes.
But the question somebody asked was, can a husband stop his wife from visiting her parents? Which is why you explained this issue to do with, you want to make sure you maintain the bonds of kinship.
Of kinship.
Exactly.
It's one of those things that we are warned, we're cautioned about not to break. those ties of kinship. We are not supposed to break that.
And if I could say something, I don't know if you remember Baba, my dad, whenever he wanted me to come over to the house, he doesn't call me and say, Mariam, come over. He calls Said and say, can I see Mariam? And I think that also, he was a Sharia, he was a Grand Qadi until he retired, and obviously was following the Sharia, respect the husband by seeking his permission to see his daughter, because he has handed his daughter to
marriage.
Him. Exactly.
That part of the problem, sad to say, is a lot of parents are not well versed in Sharia.
Yeah.
And do not understand those rights as stipulated in the Holy Quran and according to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. And I think if there needs to be a discussion, Maria, we don't know the full details of what the husband is concerned about and worried about in denying her the right to visit.
To go.
Yes.
Maybe there's some negative influence or interference.
Yes. Allahu alam. Whatever it is, they need to sit down and discuss it and remind each other that their obligations and responsibilities are first and foremost to Allah and then to themselves as husbands and wives.
Yeah.
And then to remember those rights and responsibilities are not a buffet. You can't pick and choose what you want.
Yes.
You're supposed to do every single one.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a lot. If you want to find out what your rights and obligations are, you can just go to my website. It's right there as you log on, www.mariamlemu.com.
Yeah.
And it'll pop up and it's a free printable, a PDF file.
Yeah.
Let us answer some of the questions I see here.
Okay.
Do you think attraction can grow after marriage? My mum introduced me to someone that checks off all the boxes, but I don't find them attractive.
Well, possibly yes, but being pleasing to the eyes is one of the requirements for a good marriage. A person has to be pleasing to you, to see, to look at. And if it's missing right from the beginning, I can't say it will not grow.
Exactly.
There's a possibility when you get to know the person, how kind they are, how considerate they are, how loving and caring they are, how nurturing they are, how inspiring they are, how compassionate they are.
Exactly.
And that could
That's
grow.
That's beautiful. Even when they become ugly, at least that part is
going to last. The heart is beautiful. And when the heart is beautiful, on many occasions, it overcomes the physical beauty of a person.
Yeah.
So, but as much as we're emphasizing how important that is, right off the bat, the looks, you know, they matter. We can't deny that. They matter. We shouldn't focus purely on that.
Exactly.
Because we caution, we can look for a man. They say we can marry a woman because of her beauty, her genealogy, her wealth, and her piety. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'll rub the face of the person who does not marry a woman because of her piety.
Yeah.
So yes, beauty matters, but in consideration, in prioritizing what's important, it is the piety.
Excellent. All right. Another question we got here.
And sorry, that applies to the man too. It's not how handsome he is. It's not how attractive he is.
Yeah.
It is how God-fearing he is.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, is it a high expectation to want your partner to be educated? And if he is not, and you can you object to that? Or is that wrong if you want, you insist that your partner is educated? Well, that's a good one.
The first kalima that Rasulullah, that Angel Jibril brought to Rasulullah was what?
Iqra,
read.
Yeah.
The pursuit of knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. And if we look at even in the rights and responsibilities, that is one of the rights and responsibilities of spouses also. Not only to allow the spouse to gain knowledge, but for you to pursue knowledge.
Mm.
So it's really important, because if a man, and if we're talking, if this is a lady asking on behalf of a man, and he's supposed to be the leader of the family, he is supposed to be the one that guides, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the husband is like the shepherd of a flock. Whichever direction he goes, they follow. If he doesn't have knowledge, if he doesn't seek knowledge, how would he be able to do that?
Exactly.
So it's critical that, yes, and the danger about the man not seeking knowledge, I've seen marriages where the woman has gone up, the man stayed down, and it became an issue, because every time he said something that was wrong and she tried to correct him, it became a problem. But even the kids could see he wasn't knowledgeable.
And do you remember the other case we had where this guy was complaining to us that the wife went on to pursue a PhD?
She got a PhD.
And then later when they're having conversations,
she would say
something, or he would answer, and she would say, sorry, you wouldn't understand.
You wouldn't understand.
Imagine.
So for the man's sake, it's important if you are to lead, to have the requisite requirements to lead. Yeah. You have to earn the respect to lead. Oh, and you cannot lead if you're not respected. And I'm sorry to say, you will not be respected if you're not knowledgeable.
Absolutely. And then the other part is what he did with me. I got married to him at 18. And
why do you keep bringing that up? Just say you got married to me when you were young. That's enough.
He was 12 years older than me.
Here we go.
Yes. But what that age gap, obviously, he was much wiser, more mature. And he was actually very intellectual. He read books like World History, World Geography, World Politics. Yeah, roll your eyes, you did. And I got married to him and my husband wanted to talk politics with me and I was like, So he, what I love, what I respected is he actually pushed me to come to the same level with him. So, but I didn't want to go to university. I didn't want formal education, but I wanted to be educated. I wanted to be knowledgeable. So he kept pushing me, you know, to go to different places, different sources of knowledge. And one, of course, of the best places is to read. Mm. I remember how much I hated reading in the beginning. Mm. And he called it bedtime stories because I didn't want to pick up a book and read, but he started reading it to me. Over time, I started to enjoy it. Yes, appreciate it, enjoy it. And then I started to read and then suggest, you got to read this book. This is really, really good.
Now she's suggesting books to me to read.
Exactly. So I think this thing about education, it's really important you both rise together when it comes to intellectual, because I always say try and have a lot in common. You don't have to have everything in common. There are things I love to do. Saeed does not want anything like shopping. Mm. He doesn't like shopping, which is such a pity.
No.
But for
me, I go broke. That's why.
So, and he gets really bored. Yeah. But anyway, it's important to have a lot in common. Like I had to learn about sports because it was important to him. So guess what? Today I went to work and he called me because Nadal had won his 22nd. Yes.
Yeah,
and we were both shouting. We were both happy because it's something we have in common. We share the interests, especially in sports, in world politics, intellectually. I think even in the books we read, we have so much in common to talk about. So I think this issue to do with education,
it's really,
try and be very close.
And when you do that, you're also setting an example for your children.
Absolutely.
It's very important. It's not what you tell them to do, it's what they see you do.
Yeah.
And when you hunger for knowledge, you're curious, and it's positive curiosity.
Yeah.
And you're
good
seeking
point.
Knowledge, positive knowledge that would make the world a better place, make people better. You have to have this desire that when someone sits with you for just 5 minutes, they will not leave you without gaining something because time is so precious. So when you have that mindset, that would be excellent.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got another question here. Can you share tips on how to strengthen communication and mutual respect? Excellent question.
Yeah.
Yes. Saeed, do you want to go first? How to strengthen communication and mutual respect.
First and foremost, it's important to recognize that we, the sum of our experiences, we're raised differently in how we communicate. But when you get married, you understand that you're creating your own culture. So you take the best practices and you bring it to the table. She brings the best practices. You actually discuss this. What's the best way to communicate with you in a manner that is not offensive, is not denigrating, you don't feel like you're being pressurized, and you know you're being heard. It's very, very important. What indicators would you like me to project that makes you feel I'm listening to you and I understand you? Because the way you've been communicating before is totally different from what she's used to, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So Mariam had a mouth. I mean, she described it as a weapon of mass destruction. Her communication style was devastating. So I had to say, no, you don't communicate like that. You just make matters worse.
He set boundaries.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was so sensitive. I couldn't say anything. He would say, you're being disrespectful. I was like, I'm just having fun. And he's like, I don't like it. He was so serious.
Yeah, it took a while for me to get her jokes. You know, but the sad thing is she says, I don't know how to tell a joke.
Oh, no.
Hey, wait.
No.
It's my story.
He does not
it's
tell good jokes.
Story. So
they are so dry.
Why don't you let me finish?
Okay.
It got so bad, I had to say one day, black jokes matter.
That's
so,
right.
But, seriously, on a serious note, when you do come to terms and discuss the best way to communicate with one another, because the objective is to do it in such a way that at the end of it, you respect one another, there's nothing wrong really in doing that. You shouldn't be afraid to say, I don't like this style because this is how it comes across. Well, this is how I mean. And over time, you realize when your spouse says something that may seem offensive, because you know her or you know him so well, you know it's not offensive.
Exactly.
But that takes...
That she didn't mean that or he didn't mean anything.
Yes.
But you give them the benefit of the doubt.
The one last thing I'll say before Maureen speaks, please do your best to give each other the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. And I would add when it comes to communication, because for me to overcome... Yes, the problems I had communicating, which were plenty, was I learned different methods. Number one, I tried writing him a letter to be effective in communication. Many of you have heard my story about writing letters. It didn't start well. It didn't start well. Alhamdulillah, we've come a long way. We then evolved to me making an appointment to fight. So I'd like, so it's something is bothering me. Whenever it's okay with you, I want to talk. I need to get this off my chest. Alhamdulillah. It would take him a few days, but when we finally sit down, he'd like, come Mariam, sit right here. What is bothering you? And it, alhamdulillah, often went better. Now we've reached the stage where if something is bothering us, we just say, like, oh no, I didn't like that thing you did. And he's like, oh no, sorry, I didn't mean it. It's, the feedback is instant.
There's no anger.
Yeah.
We don't harbor any ill will.
Exactly.
We say it right away so we don't nurse any frustrations
it's
or so
boom,
on.
Boom, boom,
boom,
immediate, but of course with respect.
Yeah.
I often have to say, I didn't like that thing you did. It really annoyed me. And he says, so I just want to set the record straight. It's not that we don't fight or have misunderstandings, but we don't have the kind of disagreements that make us disagree. You know, we maintain good manners, respect, and we always work towards finding a mutual resolution and not to hold things in our hearts. You know, I think that's also something important.
Yeah.
Then the last question was about respect. Somebody was asking, how do you, you know, have learned to develop respect? It really, I think, is something about, we've heard this, it's overflogged. Respect is reciprocal.
Yeah.
Conduct
give,
yourself with dignity and give respect.
Yeah.
And inshallah, if you are married to a correct person,
you
will
get
it back, inshallah.
But remember, it's a right for both husbands and wives
to be respected.
You have to be respectful to your spouse,
husband
to wife, wife to husband.
And
it's,
good
it's
manners,
a right.
It's a right. Good manners is so are critical in marriage.
Yeah.
Bad behavior, bad adab is what destroys a marriage.
Yes.
So fights don't destroy a marriage. It's
the
how.
Fight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then here's another question. My mom doesn't want me to marry a man I want as a third wife. All right.
Because
my sisters are divorced. What can I do even though the istihara are divorcees, even though the istihara shows positivity? What do I do?
Well, the concern I have about people being objectionable to polygamy is that it's a sunnah. So let's be careful. Let's not make haram what is halal. That's very, very dangerous. Is it just because the sisters are divorcees? It's made possibly because they made wrong choices. Who says your choice is wrong?
Yeah.
The focus here is to investigate the man you want to marry. Does he have the knowledge, the deen, depth in deen? Does he have the capacity? Is he caring to his existing wives? In fact, the interview should be with his current two wives. How good a husband, how good a father is he? How good a leader is he in the home?
That's going to be hard to do, though.
Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then that accompanied with istihara, which your mother should join you in doing. I don't think it's right to look at other people's experiences to form an opinion on yours. No. These are totally separate individuals, very not the same people, maybe not even the same background, and so on and so forth. So I would say caution there. But the best way to go about it, and we've had situations where a lady who was approached by a man sought the permission and was allowed to talk to the man's existing wife, and they had a thorough discussion about her coming in as a co-wife or a sister wife.
Yeah.
So that happens, and there should be nothing to hide if the man has nothing to hide to say, yeah, go talk to them. Do I have the means? Yes. Am I a good husband? They're the best people to answer that question. Am I a good father? They will be in the better position to say. Do I care? Do I cater to my family the way I should, as is stipulated in the Quran and according to Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They are the best people to answer that question. But don't forget the istihara. Not just you, not just your mom, even those family friends who you know are close to Allah spiritually and are good people, to join you in the istihara, inshallah.
Absolutely. All right. I've got another question here that I wrote down. When is the best time to get married? When would you say, you know what, if you've done this is the right time? When will you know that you're ready to get married? This is a common question I get asked.
We are seeing a lot of examples these days of young people getting married when they're not ready to be husbands or wives. They haven't really taken a journey into the self, a journey of discovery to understand what their strengths and weaknesses are as human beings. And that's why the premarital counseling is so important. It has been missing in our society. And then you have young people who get married, who are under the roof of their fathers, who don't have jobs, who are being maintained, being given allowances. That's not a good situation to be in for a man. Really, it isn't. If your parents, and here's the thing, when we will spend millions and millions and millions in receptions.
Yes, bling weddings.
I would say, honestly, in preparing a young man, it's better that money is put aside as a source of investment. So it generates revenue. These events last, what, 2 or 3 days maximum?
Yeah.
And along the way, sadly, a lot of us even commit sin because we do haram
we
things.
We start physical contact.
Yeah,
you see bride and groom dancing together, yet the nikah has not been done. It is wrong.
When a nikah takes place, let's understand something. We go there seeking the blessings
of Allah. Absolutely.
Conducting the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with witnesses. Why would we go to that extent and then take our own hands and then knock the whole thing down?
Yep.
By inviting shaitan into our lives and do all sorts of bid'ah in the name of sophistication.
Yes.
And why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are enlightened, we have money, you know, we can do this dance style and that dance style.
We can cut cake holding hands. It is wrong. No physical contact.
Until
I'm not
married.
A fanatic. This is Allah's law, not mine. No physical contact.
But when you do that, and within 6 months and 9 months, you start having problems, then you start wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was based on a shaky foundation.
Yeah.
Don't go out there trying to impress people. If you want to impress anybody, impress Allah.
Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
All right, quickly, I will ask another question. The man I want to marry can't understand my native language, and I also can't understand his. So the only way we can communicate is in English. Advice, please. This is interesting.
Well,
that's okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
My mom was British, my dad was Nupe, and my mom obviously couldn't speak Nupe, and alhamdulillah, they lived happily for 50 years, so...
Guess what? There are people who speak the same language, but don't communicate.
In that language.
Yeah, they don't communicate well, so I don't think that's a hindrance. As long as you have a way, a language, the key thing is to be courteous, respectful, and tactful when you speak. That's the key thing. Just be respectful.
Yeah.
Be tactful, and be courteous. In whatever language it is, Allah has blessed you to be able to communicate in. And know the rights and responsibilities of husbands and wives in Islam, inshallah.
Exactly. Let me ask another question. So let me go to those questions that I'd ask you guys to send me emails for, which is, what is it? And I'll start with this one. We'll answer the next set of questions in the next session. What do men do that women don't like? And one of the first one is, men don't open up about their feelings. They're not expressive about how they feel. What you, as a man, what do you have to say to that?
We have to understand, if you go from Indochina, you go to Indo-Pakistani, you go to the Middle East, you go to North Africa, you come to Africa. There is a way we are raised as these macho people who don't show emotion. We are tough, we are resilient, we can hold it in, we can tolerate, and so on and so forth. The unfortunate thing is, when you're not expressive, we tend to blow up when we least expect.
Yeah.
And we tend to lose control because it's all so pent up and we don't have an outlet. The sad thing is, we are considered weak when we open up and we share our fears, our doubts, even traumatic experiences that we've had growing up that may be considered shameful to even share. And that causes us, I'm not kidding, it causes us health problems.
Yeah.
Beyond just marital problems, it causes us physical health problems. It causes us emotional problems. It causes psychological problems. And we tend to let out our frustration on our loved ones because of unresolved issues. Yeah. So it's important, the key concern that many men also have, sad to say, is when they do share their secrets, their experiences,
yeah,
sometimes our spouses tend to use it in a fight and denigrate the same person who has confided in them in something that's very, very personal and very sensitive to them.
Or they tell others
outside.
They violate trust. Yeah.
When that happens, or when they know it's happened to someone they know, they're hesitant to open up.
Yeah.
You'll see many men would rather share these concerns with fellow men than they would with their own wives, and it shouldn't be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the women have to make sure they let the husband know that this is a sanctuary, that when you come to me with something that's bothersome, something that has affected you, something that's shaken you as a human being or as a man, rest assured, what I'm there to do is to provide you with solace,
yeah,
to give you support, to give you whatever assistance I can possibly give you to make you heal. And when you understand the power you have as a spouse to help your spouse heal, believe you me, the sense of indebtedness, the sense of appreciation is astronomical. You know, and they will be there for you too.
Yeah.
So we have to give the signal that I am a safe haven.
Yeah.
Come to me, I will hear you and I'll help you. And unless you tell me to discuss it with somebody, it's between me, you and Allah.
Yeah.
We have to project that sense of trust.
That is, the women have
yes,
to project that
yes,
and help.
Yes.
I know a lot of men, it's probably how they saw their own parents, especially their father, how he was. Maybe he was non-expressive. I think one thing I love so much is watching Saeed and how he relates with the boys and what the boys witnessed growing up. He was very expressive. If he's sad, he'll say, I'm feeling sad. He was expressive of emotions, you know, and he would say, you know, I'm not happy about this, or I'm sad about this, or this makes me so, you know, I'm elated. They hear words of emotions that over the years, I watched the boys as they grew older, they would say, honestly, I'm feeling really sad right now, or I'm scared about this. And I think these are words that, you know, when men say it, that vulnerability actually is such an endearing quality. I know for lots of women, when I talk to them, they love their husbands even more when they soften up and show how human they are,
yeah,
when they show that expression. So I just want to say, for the men who man up and go by big boys don't cry, it's actually unhealthy, as
yeah,
it said, and it's not really a good quality to have, because if your spouse has earned your trust, it's something that's important, because they are the ones you're supposed to open up to. They're the ones who are meant to know you better than anyone else in the world. But may Allah guide us in the best manner. Mm-hmm. There's a question I have to answer here from a lady. She said, I want to get married, but whenever I think of leaving my parents, I always get scared, and I find myself scared, you know, really scared. Please, how can I deal with this? This is so sweet. But I mean, obviously, this is a reality.
I want you to answer it. How did you feel getting married? I mean,
I was looking forward to leaving home, because
okay,
my father was so strict. I was dying to go out of the house. My father had curfews for me and lots of rules. And may Allah bless him. Those rules protected me. And I created my own rules in our house too. But I don't think I'm really the right example, but I had such a close bond and a tight relationship with my parents. And yes, of course, one is going to miss one's parents, but you know, this is life. If you think about how would you feel, you're afraid of leaving home, but if Allah called your parents home, which is obviously inevitable one day,
mm-hmm,
what are you going to do? You know, we're going to lose our loved ones one day one day. So I don't mean to be insensitive, but you mentally need to just prepare yourself and know that this is part of your life. You're not leaving your parents. They're still in your life.
Yeah.
You know, they're parents for life.
You're starting your own family.
Exactly.
So you have your own children, so you become a parent.
And like we used to spend Sundays, we had family day where where we would go with my husband in the morning and we'd play tennis with my brother, my mom, Allah irhamuha. My dad would come and sit and be watching us, and our children would be playing around while we played. So we made it a nice family thing. So we are still together. And then they would come to our house for breakfast. Then we would go to my mom's house for lunch, and we'd all sit together and be chatting as a family, you know. So you're not really leaving your family. It's not goodbye forever. Even if you are in another country, the good thing is you have WhatsApp video, you got Zoom and other mediums that you can still see your parents and loved ones and communicate with them.
I think there is a need for parents to start preparing both male and female children for marriage.
Yeah.
To start telling them earlier that you're going to have your own home, you're going to have your own husband, you're going to have your own wife, and you're going to have your own children. So mentally, earlier on, because that was what was done with me, I think I was maybe 7 or 8 when the discussion of marriage was being thrown around and people were making jokes and so on. So in my mind, earlier on, I kind of accepted the fact that I will be getting married someday, and I'll have my own wife, and I'll have my own kids. So parents have a role to play in that also. But when you, here's the danger. We love our children so much, we shelter them so much that they cannot fathom or imagine any place that will be as good as home.
Yeah.
That has a disadvantage. As much as we love our kids, there are disadvantages there. As we do that, we should also remind them that a time will come when they will start their own families, and we start sharing ideas with them. What helped me a lot is discussions with my father and my mothers, because I come from a polygamy, where they talk about marriage, husbands and wives and so on. So I got used to the idea that someday this is going to happen. So it wasn't kind of a shock for me, but it was a shock getting married to her anyway. But anyway, I'm just saying, that will happen. But the concept of marriage shouldn't scare you, because it's a natural progression in life.
Yeah. Excellent. I will wrap up very quickly. I wasn't going to be here for too long. But I got two more questions on this list. The first is leaving parents to... Okay, this person wrote in that leaving parenting to the mother... And then when things go wrong, the kids get messed up, she gets blamed. This is such a common thing, and I know a lot of mothers, a lot of women complain about this. So what are your thoughts on that?
I could not fathom leaving parenting to Mariam alone. I felt I'll be losing a major opportunity to bond. And that is why from conception, seriously, I started my parenting. In fact, we discussed parenting before even the conception. But the moment Mariam had come along enough to go to
birthing classes,
and I think we had 6 of them over 6 weekends, I didn't miss a single one.
I went shopping one day and he attended without me.
I went alone. I took my notes, everything from the contraction pains to, you know, help me exercise.
You know, he saved me when I was in labor. Now, he was in the labor room with me, but of course he wasn't at the bottom end. He was by my head throughout. He never wanted to look at any icky stuff. But you know what I loved is, because I missed the most important class, which is the breathing exercises, I was there hyperventilating. I was like, and then my face was turning purple because I wasn't breathing properly. And Said was the one doing... and you know the funny thing, there was a time where I was in too much pain and I was just, and he's like, Mariam, breathe or you're going to die. but honestly, he saved me because I literally was changing color.
From birth, rocking them, feeding them, bathing them, I would take them away from her. I mean, it was when my children came that I started drinking coffee, because I'll be up from 1 to maybe...
So that I could sleep.
Once the kids were up at night, I just took them away from her. And, you know, it created a bond.
Yeah.
There's a relationship between my children and I that is just priceless.
Even now, they are finished university practically. Yeah. One is just about to graduate, and
one has
they're
graduated.
So close.
Yeah.
They're so close. They talk every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
And we discuss everything.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Yeah.
So for the men who think it's like, oh, Aiki Matani is just for women, men don't do that, wrong.
They're missing out.
And one sad thing, there's a phenomenon going on in Nigeria, especially in certain parts of the country. Because it is the mothers who spend all the time in caring for the kids. When they become affluent, I've had cases where the children who live abroad would just send tickets to their mothers and they leave the man living alone in Nigeria. Honestly, the mother isn't there and then taking care of their mother. And the reason being, you were not involved.
Yeah.
You were detached.
Exactly.
And many of them think that's the way it's supposed to be. The kids see this and they feel you don't care.
Yeah.
They feel you're not involved. All you do is you go, you pay for the fees, you don't care to hear or know anything about them. And the one who has been there every single time, when they're pain, when they have nightmares, when they pee in bed and they need to be reassured, all these things.
Yeah.
If it's always the mother, I want to tell my brothers out there, be careful. Because later on in life, honestly, they will show appreciation to just the mother.
Yeah, and I also want to add, and from a religious perspective, you know, the role of parenting lies on both parents.
Both.
You both are going to be responsible.
Yes.
And in the life to come, when it comes to the tarbiyah you instilled, what kind of education and values you gave your children, Allah will ask you about that. So that's important.
Just quickly, let me say this.
Quickly, because I need to finish.
One of the greatest things that I experienced is my father sharing his life lessons with me.
Yeah.
I was maybe 5 or 6 when these conversations would begin. And he would let me understand he's fallible, he's human, and he makes mistakes. And he struggles with certain things. And that conversation gave me this sense of being human, being imperfect, fallible. And it makes you want to be better. You strive to be better. Because my father will say, I've done this, and I don't want you to do it.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't do this. You don't do that. Now, I don't think anybody could have had as much an impact on me as my father telling me those things. So I tell men often, whether you have daughters or sons, talk to them about your mistakes, your missteps, you know, the errors you made, the price you paid. Because if they're your children, of course we know, they're going to have some of your characteristics. And if they do have some of those challenges and weaknesses that you have as human being, you want them to avoid the mistakes that you've made. So you don't keep silent. So you have conversations with them. And they reach an age where they could come and say, Baba, I'm like this. Or sometimes you notice, oh, I was like that growing up. I got into a lot of trouble. I better arrest this early. It's not insulting, beating, but having a conversation. Say, you know what? I noticed this about you. You're just like me. Please don't go down that road. Go this way instead.
Okay, I saw a question that somehow connected, so I feel let me just answer it. My husband keeps lying. He will not stop his bad habits. He's not a great father either. What can I do? This comes up so often, yeah.
See, there are times where your spouse does not want to listen to you even though you're 100% right. The reason is this. Rights and responsibilities are a duty. They are acts of ibadah to Allah. And if lying is considered a sin in Islam, then let him know it's not that he's hurting you when he lies. He's hurting himself. It's self-destruction.
Yeah.
And if you are his sutura, as it says in Surah Al-Baqarah, you're there to protect, to be his garment. And you tell this man that, listen, there's a limit to what I can do. This is what you're doing to yourself. And if you are not listening to me, I'm going to escalate this to people that you respect and tell them to step in. Because I'm trying to save you from yourself. It's not that you're hurting me, but you're hurting yourself. And when you go on this self-destructive drive or binge that you do, and you don't realize that it is really your path to Jahannam, I have to tell people, this is what you're doing. The worst thing is this, the bad example that you're setting for the kids. Because they may end up becoming liars themselves. Come judgment day, even if you later, if you're not careful, you repent and you're okay with Allah and they continue.
You get commission.
Your children continue. Mm-hmm. Judgment day, you pass the answers to you, you scale through. Then it comes your children's turn.
Yeah.
This is a hadith Qudsi, where when it's their turn, they say, I became like that because my father was like this, and then they'll tell you, oh, you're on your way to Jannah, they'll say, come back. Yeah. Let's be very careful about habits. It's not okay, it's my life. No, it's beyond your life. You're affecting the lives of others. And like I said at the beginning, Rasulullah said, the husband is like a shepherd of his flock. Whatever direction they go, they follow. Even if you repent and you become better, remember, you've planted a seed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not a good seed that you planted in your child.
And also, I think for some, they want to know, so what can I do? I can't talk to my husband. Maybe he won't listen.
Escalate.
These are habits. You may have to escalate
yeah.
it. You may have to involve people that he respects to talk to him, that this is affecting you, this is affecting the relationship,
the
this
children.
Is affecting the children.
And, you know,
exactly,
Allah,
and his relationship with Allah.
Yeah.
But at the same time as well, you know, it's, anyway, I think Saeed has answered pretty much most of the points with regard to that. You have to decide, what do you want
yeah.
to do? If you have to do istihara, why? Because it is your children that are seeing the example,
yeah.
and you'll be asked about that. You know, you may think you're doing them a favor by staying in a toxic relationship or in an unhealthy relationship, and they're seeing the wrong example. Later, they will resent you for allowing them to be witnesses to that.
Yeah.
So I've got the last question here, but I noticed one more before I go there. Let me see. Is it haram for a man to enter multiple mutas without permanently marrying? Wow, this is such an interesting question, and it is amazing that it's coming now. I can't believe this came up. So for those who don't know what muta is, it is it's described as temporary marriage,
yes.
and it is often something that comes up from the Shia sect, but it isn't something that most scholars subscribe to. So I say most often what I have learned based on my research, it is un-Islamic.
It's haram.
It is un-Islamic. It is haram for you to go into this
not
temporary
just multiple,
marriage.
Even one.
Yes, even if it is one, not multiple.
Yeah.
Permanent marriage is what we should all go into.
Yeah.
Marriage is marriage forever after,
yeah.
with one spouse or four up at the most, if we are able to do it.
Not just to satisfy your temporary lust and then
exactly.
you get a divorce.
Exactly.
No.
So this question, why I said it's interesting, is I just came back from the UK a few days ago. And while I was there, I was counseling somebody. And she was mentioning this is such a common thing that,
mm-hmm.
What was the word I said? Secret marriage.
Yeah,
that this
call.
Is very common, different from temporary marriage.
Yeah.
This was secret marriage, that their parents don't even know they're married,
mm-hmm.
but they have a relationship going on. When things mess up, like I discovered in some of the cases I was counseling, is so this girl marries somebody secretly, and then her parents want her to marry someone, but she's already gone into a nikah with someone else. Imagine the mess she has put herself in, and how she's going to get out of that mess. It's a long story, and I think I'll do another talk on that particular thing, because the lady gave me permission to share her story and her experience. But when I was sharing what I learned from with someone else, he actually said to me that there are some places in the Shia communities
mm-hmm.
where they have imams
in front of brothels
where they do like 10-minute or 40-minute nikah.
Yeah.
They go, they commit zina, because that's what it is, and then they come out and the
no dowry, nothing,
nothing, just the nikah is done, and then it is dissolved so that they can have sex guilt-free.
Yeah.
I don't know who they think they are fooling.
Yeah.
But I just want to answer the question you are asking. Is it haram for a man to enter multiple mutas?
Yes.
It is haram. Let's just answer the flat out. The answer is definitely it is. Could you advise a divorcee who is scared about marrying again? Okay, this question just popped up. As we're wrapping up, there's one big question I want Saeed to answer. But to answer that, could you advise a divorcee? If you're still scared, I would say it's not yet time
yeah.
to go into marriage. First, I advise divorcees, really do a lot of introspect.
Yes.
Reflect on what happened, what went wrong. It can't all be the other person's fault. You might have done some things that
mm-hmm.
allowed for this thing to grow and ruin a relationship.
It could be you didn't investigate your spouse properly.
Exactly. You,
you
may not have done the
prenup,
or
yes.
you ignored the warning
or
signs.
Yes.
Exactly. So there's a lot that happens that creates a divorce.
No.
But I also want to say, you need to recognize then you need to heal.
Yeah,
you need to get back on your feet where you feel confident. Continue to grow, continue to upgrade yourself.
Learn,
be more self-aware.
Yeah.
Learn more about emotional intelligence. Learn more about effective communication.
Conflict management.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah.
All the things that you know went wrong in the relationship that, oh, I wish I knew that before I got married.
Yeah.
Do that homework before you go into a new relationship.
I think it's important to take a stock of what went wrong.
Exactly.
And what I need to do to fix that before I even consider getting married.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think for you also, because you are vulnerable, do not allow people to tell you, you know, your time is running out.
Yeah.
You're already a divorcee. You better manage and take whatever comes your way.
Yeah.
Stop being choosy. Do not give in to that kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you'll find yourself back where you were before.
Yeah.
But for your fear, then take your time and do your homework right. Do your premarital.
Yeah.
Ask others.
Yeah,
investigate them properly. Don't ignore warning signs. Check off all the key boxes
and
that
be,
matter.
Be truthful to the prospective man about your weaknesses.
Exactly.
Here's the reason why. None of us are perfect.
Yeah.
And when you share what your weaknesses are, you want your spouse to help you overcome them, you know, whether man or woman. So don't hide them.
Yeah.
Don't hide them. Don't be deceitful. Be honest. Allah in His mercy will also help you both in overcoming those challenges, inshallah.
Yes. Then last question here, and I might just answer one more there, but here's this one. When I ask that question, what is it that women don't like that men do?
Mm.
This one is, intimacy is one-sided.
Yes.
I can hear people in the house saying, yes, intimacy is one-sided. It's more about the man being pleased and enjoying it than the woman. It's more about sex than making love.
Yeah.
What have you got to say to that, sir?
Okay, well, first and foremost, let's understand one thing. Men and women are wired differently. Women make love emotionally, men do so physically.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? You need to explain. Do tafsir on that.
Okay. You don't start making love to your wife at night, you start it in the morning. What I mean by that, from the moment she wakes up, how you communicate through the day, how you talk to her, how you check on her, when you're home, how you help if you're both home with the chores, you know, how you are empathetic when she comes. And there's one thing, you know, when they say men are from Mars, women are from Venus, when they come complaining to you about how their day went, don't solve the problem, just listen.
Don't be a Martian.
Yeah, don't be a Martian. These things, the lovemaking starts early. And when you deposit all these things, the woman is emotionally ready to make love to you. That's number one. Number two, it is a requirement. It's in Sharia.
Part of her rights.
Yeah, to prepare the woman, you know, in essence, to prepare her physically to accept you. You don't just
want to arouse her.
To arouse her and to make her willing to accept you, not to hurt her, not to physically just go in and cause all sorts of problems down there. Men have to understand that. So it's not like we have an urge right now and we want to satisfy ourselves right now and that's it, we're done, we start snoring like a lion, you know, with a lioness. That's not the way it's supposed to be, sorry. but we're supposed to be more considerate, more sensitive about the nature of women. We have to understand the nature
especially
of women.
Especially this brain of ours.
It's they make love from here. Well, you men.
It's a mess in here.
If it's messed up up there, if she's not happy, if she's not in the right frame of mind,
or there are unresolved issues,
and you just think I'm sorry, and then she's okay. It doesn't work like that, gentlemen. So take the time, have a conversation. Not when you're aroused. No, have a conversation when you're both normal and say, how do you want me to do this?
Yeah.
Just have a conversation.
Yeah.
You are in
what
this
brings you pleasure.
And finally, let me say this. Intimacy satisfaction is the right of both
husbands
and wives. It is listed in the rights and responsibilities.
We owe each other.
The husband
satisfied
owes the wife to be satisfied. You hear this hadith that men like quoting, even if she's on the camel, she's supposed to come down when the husband calls.
Get down your camel.
Well, there's another side to that. They say when the wife isn't satisfied, she can keep you in bed until the sun rises.
Yep.
But you see, our mothers don't talk about that. So brother, like,
what, she can stop you from going out,
yeah,
man.
What did brother say? Just say, yeah.
Yep, you heard him.
Yeah. So let's be careful. And when you keep ignoring that, you're not only denying her her right, you're also offending Allah.
And you are going to cause fitna if you're not careful, because we are dealing with the effects of women who have been neglected and ignored, because that's where the rise of masturbation, watching pornography, has just risen.
Yes, and then extramarital affairs.
Extramarital affairs,
yes.
Because you fear, you hear, you know, I do everything, they're not satisfied, or it's all about them and not me.
Yeah.
What about my needs? And then somebody else comes along, or they watch something, and before you know it, it leads to something else.
You so have to be careful.
You have to get this in order.
Yeah, please.
So that is it with regard to the questions I was going to answer on my list from those that I harvested. But I got a ton more. Wallahi, I have over 100, but I'm not going to answer them today. But I see a lot of requests that we should do this more often. Inshallah, we will make the time.
Inshallah.
I just see somebody asked, please advise some men who focus more on their phones than on their families. I think for me, one thing that I've heard Saeed say quite often is be careful with what you use your eyes to see. That sometimes zina is
of
the eyes, with what you see. The person may be just chatting with people, but be careful giving the unseen more priority than those that you would want by your bedside if you were on your deathbed. Those that truly matter. Those that will pray for you when you are no longer on this earth.
Here's the thing. Rasulullah said the best among us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best among us are those who are best to their wives. And then in other case, he said, I'm the best amongst you. Every second, I want brothers and sisters to understand this. Every second we spend, Allah will ask us to account for it. Now, when you come to account and you had an option to either have a conversation of which both you and your wife or your family will grow, will learn, will be better Muslims, better versions of yourselves. And instead, you lock yourself up in a phone, you know, either you're looking at social media, political conversations, or gossip, or whatever it is, or fashion, or music, and you lose that opportunity. It will be held against you come Judgment Day. That time is precious. And I want to say, there is nothing more valuable, more precious than time, because once it's gone,
that's it.
You can't get
exactly.
it back. So careful how you manage time. Careful who you spend time with. Careful what you discuss in that time. Careful what kind of advice you give in that time.
Yes.
Careful even what you think, because you can have zina also, you know, you visualize things and it's zina. It doesn't have to be physical. There's zina of the hand. You typed in your phone, you went to a site. There's zina of the foot, you walk to a place. Zina of the eye, you know, zina of so many things.
The tongue, everything.
Be careful. So time.
And our body parts are witnesses against us.
They will be
Just imagine in front of Allah.
They will be the ones
they will
testifying.
Say what, yeah, testifying.
Yes.
I think that's important.
Yes.
So it's so funny. I saw somebody write something. I thought it was so hilarious. They said we look alike. I'm like, how?
Yeah, wait. 30 years of marriage does that to you.
No, it does. I
yes,
do not look like you.
Hey,
you know what? When we first started, it was so funny. You guys who missed the beginning, you know, people would say Fanta and Coke. And then he now looked at me and he said, I am Moi Moi. And I said, he's Amala.
I didn't
For
like,
us
no,
Nigerians,
didn't
you
agree.
Get it, right?
No, I'm not. I know Amala. The kind I've seen is blacker than me.
Yes.
Even black as my hair. There's a difference between my hair and my skin. So, no, I beg to differ.
Anyway, I don't know what you see similar in us. Maybe it's our personalities, because over... Inshallah, in September, we would have done 31 years. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
We continue to pray to Allah to bless our union. I always tell people we never take each other for granted, not for a moment.
We pray that you get to where we are in 10 years or 5 years.
Even better.
Yeah, that's what we pray. Everybody watching us, we hope you get to where we are much earlier than we are.
Yes,
Inshallah.
Exactly. May Allah bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us. People ask if I'm going to save this. Absolutely, Inshallah. I will save. Okay, so does that mean that you can't visualize scenes in your husband as well as does that also? No. If it's your spouse,
your husband,
that one is good.
No,
please
sky's
visualize.
The sky's the limit.
Fantasize
yes. as much as you want.
Anticipate. It's even something that will make you look forward to seeing them.
Yes,
definitely.
No, nothing wrong with
that. That one is all good.
No, that's
inshallah.
Halal. That's halal.
Very halal.
Yes.
Anyway, we will stop now. May Allah bless you. Jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you so much. And I will save this. Saeed, as always, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, just don't call me Amala again.
So. I will own the moi moi. Yes, I am moi moi. I don't mind. Oh, somebody said, sister, you didn't answer my question. Okay,
what's the question?
Please ask it quickly. Please ask. I promise you we will stay one more second and we will answer your question. I'm so sorry. All right. I love you too. Do you know, it was so funny. Somebody once, I was watching a video where it was so hilarious. I'm taking time so that you can ask your question.
Yes.
Oh, my sister, please ask your question. So there was something I saw where people were mimicking how folks who go live on Instagram would behave when they first go live. And it was so funny because they were like, you know, hi everyone, I'm just waiting for others to hop on. Hi Shaniqua, I see you. Oh yeah, hey strong girl 82, I see. And it was so funny because I found myself doing a look at his face. He doesn't get it.
Okay.
He doesn't get what I'm doing. Okay. Yes.
Wait,
it was funny for me. Okay, I see she says she's going to send me a DM. All right, inshallah, I will go there so as not to waste anybody else's time. May Allah bless you. Salaam alaikum. Over and out from us, inshallah.
Yes. Have a good evening. Bye.
Salaam alaikum.